my brand is dishonesty. I lie every day on this show. How proud of that am I?
What? Everybody lies every day on every show.
It's absolutely true, John. There is some hyperbole in everything we do on the radio.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I got to tell you, I am – I know the Clipper thing is coming and all that, and I got something to say about that. But I'm starting to get concerned about the Dodgers. And you're going to say, oh, don't worry about it.
No,
don't worry about it.
No, I'm not going to say that. You should be concerned. That pitcher last night was not Jacob DeGrom.
No, Zach Davies is just a guy.
Yeah, in his last start, he gave up 8 runs.
Yeah.
This is, at some point, Mace, if you win the title every year, and these guys, the Lakers, when I say, or Dodgers, when I say win the title, they've won the NL West, what, 8 years in a row?
8 years in a row.
You just, at some point, don't you slide into, oh, we'll be fine.
Yeah, that's an interesting – the word is complacency.
Okay, so tell me if these are signs of complacency.
Okay.
Your best player gets picked off of first base.
Yep, bad,
all right?
Bad.
You have an easy – I think at one point they had an easy double play ball they didn't convert.
Nope.
Guys taking games off every week because of injuries, not to say that they're not really hurt, but, you know, no sense of urgency.
Terrible. And with then being runners no in hit, scoring position.
Then being no hit by 3 Cubs pitchers who didn't even know they were throwing a no hitter.
Yeah.
They walked so many people. They walked 8 Dodgers that they just assumed it was a regular game. But I think the Dodgers, and by the way, you could say, somebody's going to call us, and you can call us anytime, by the way, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776.
Yeah, it's Friday. We'll get some calls in.
And you're going to say, Ireland, relax. It's June. Well, a week from now, it's July. It's the 25th of June.
Thank you for being a human calendar.
The All-Star Game's in 3 weeks.
Yes.
All right. At what point, Mace, do you say, okay, it's not okay to just do nothing? Because last night, they did nothing.
Yeah, they did absolutely nothing. And here's the thing about the Dodgers. They are second in the league in on-base percentage. In other words, they get runners on a bunch.
But they've got
traffic on the bases, and nobody can seem to drive them home. This is the 3 against the Padres in this one are 4 games where they are scuffling so badly offensively. And I know people say, oh, Mookie, injury, not right, all that stuff. If he's really not right, because he's not hitting – he's not hitting well at all. He's got like 9 homers in a league where the leader's got, 22 or 23 or 24 or something like that.
Right.
You know, he's batting .249. I'm sorry. There's something not right with Mookie Betts.
All right, breaking news. I'm just going to drop this in because it's a huge story. Derek Chauvin, the Minneapolis cop who killed George Floyd, just sentenced to 22 and a half years in prison. 22 and a half years in prison. That's breaking news. Okay. So back to your Dodger thing.
Yes.
It is, to me, time to wake up.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
I don't think you can now say, it's June. What are they in third place now?
Yeah, third place. They're tied for third with the Padres, 4.5 games behind the
Giants. And the Padres own them.
Yeah, the Padres got their number, man. Padres got their number. Yeah, I'm starting to get really worried, and I think that is the word. They're sleepy. They're complacent. There's no urgency. That's what I'm getting from this Dodgers team. You know, you do not get the division title handed to you on a platter.
Not
although
anymore.
It's been that
there
way
was,
the last
there
couple
were a
of years.
Few years where it was
yeah,
like that.
It has been just like Dodgers by default. All of a sudden, you've got the Padres who are getting good and the Giants who are surprisingly good with Farhan Zaidi up there operating the organization,
right,
our
so here's
former second in command.
What do I always say, Mace, when you're trying to predict things or you're trying to figure out who's going to win what, I always say follow the money.
Follow the money.
Okay. So today I went and looked at the Vegas odds again. And it's getting interesting. All right?
Yep.
Dodgers still the favorite at 9-5. All right?
9-5.
Which is basically, you know, 4-1. The Padres.
Yeah.
The Padres are 4-1, and the Giants are 10-1.
So just a shade between the Padres and Dodgers.
Even the Vegas people, the guys who live and die on this stuff and make their living on it, are saying Dodgers don't look good.
Yeah, no, not good at all. Not good at all. And I'm not sure. What's weird is now as we get to the trade deadline, end of July, I'm not even sure what piece you add. I mean, you're kind of stacked all around. I mean, Will Smith, Max Muncy, you got Gavin Lux, who's played pretty well. You've got Corey Seager, hopefully coming back. They said early July is what Dave Roberts said yesterday.
That's a great point. If I gave you a magic wand and said you could add something, you really don't want to bench anybody.
You're not going to add a starting pitcher.
Right.
You're not your bullpen has been pretty good.
Maybe depending on the prognosis for Seager. Remember a few years ago, Machado was a Renan All-Star situation,
yep.
And they went out and got him. But I don't know if there's anybody out there like that, like an All-Star that's going to be a rental this
no.
year.
No. And I don't know where you'd put him. I mean,
you'd
I guess
put
maybe
– short.
Put him – well, but yesterday Dave Roberts said Seager early July.
Right.
So we're gonna see Seager pretty quick. And, I mean, we want Seager. Left field, I guess maybe left field.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be one spot, and another high-leverage reliever, another spot.
But here's the thing. If you get Betts back healthy and you get Bellinger back healthy, Pollock isn't terrible.
No, he's good. I like Pollock.
So
I like
maybe
Pollock.
A left-handed left fielder to platoon with Pollock? You're right. There isn't a gaping hole. It's just that they're playing with no urgency.
If they start the
playoffs today, by the way, they would probably throw out Kershaw, Bueller, Bauer.
Yep.
And I would still pick them.
Yeah, me too. In a short series with those starters?
Yeah.
Come on. You know, normally we wouldn't take calls this early, but Dodger fans are panicked, so I'm going to – let's do it. This is J-O-H, I believe. It's probably John from L.A. John from L.A., you're on 710 ESPN. What are you doing, man?
Yeah, hey, guys. I'm very concerned about the Dodgers, but the reason being is that all of this losing on this losing streak is directly related to the substances that these incredible starting pitchers are not able to put on the baseballs any longer.
Oh.
That's number one. Number two.
But why wouldn't, John, why wouldn't that affect all the other teams too?
The Clippers winning this Western Conference Finals would be devastating to Lakers fans because they're going to start to say the bubble championship wasn't legit. The reason being is that Caldwell Pope is only clutch when there are no fans in the stands.
Yeah, I
but
think that's – I don't
year,
believe in that,
every
man.
Every other year, he cannot
wait,
be clutch.
John, I'll go completely the other way on that. I think the bubble championship was harder to win than a regular title. Not easier. They were quarantined in a friggin' bubble for three months.
They were isolated from their family, from their they couldn't leave hotel.
A lot of teams just melted down. The Clippers just melted down. So I don't think there's any asterisk on what the Lakers did. And by the way, Mace, I think that after last night, Clippers are right back in this series. Right back in.
I'm sticking with Phoenix in five.
If the Clippers win tomorrow night, you're in trouble. That picks
well, then it'll
trouble.
Be Clippers. Then it'll be Phoenix in six. All right, let's go to Justin in Sacramento. Hey, Justin, what are you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Big fan of the show.
You
guys are completely wrong about the Dodgers.
What? God, what?
They have the third highest run differential in the league, and they played, I think, since, the first week of the year with everybody being hurt, Seager, Bellinger, Betts isn't right. Muncy was off for a while. They picked up Pujols to be a right-handed pinch hitter bat off the bench, and he's been starting, every other day? I'm not worried about him. They've won the last 8 years. They'll win again. They just completely scrubbed the floor with the Padres last year in the playoffs. I'm not worried about him.
Here's the weird thing about the run differential. I know exactly what you're saying. When I look at their schedule, I see him throwing down 14. I see him throwing down 11. I see him throwing down 14 again. I see him scoring when they win. They've won some really big games where they put a lot of runs on the board. But let's face it, right now they just can't score. I mean, they can't score. They've scored seven runs in their last four games.
To back up your numbers, they get guys on base every game. They had eight guys on base last night. Couldn't bring any of them in.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So there's a problem fundamentally, at least so far. Let's get Ken in Newport in here. Hey, Ken, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey,
Ken.
Hi, guys. You made the point on this last guy before I start. Yeah, it's great to win 14-1 and then lose the next three games 2-1.
Yep.
Before the season began, I said this was the single most overrated Dodger team in the last 9 years. Here's the reason: they got rid of all the veterans. They dumped everybody out of the bench because our general manager said we got depth. Well, you look at the six guys they brought up from the minor leagues. Every single one of those guys hit or is hitting under 200.
Okay, but right, wait a minute.
Can I jump in here? That's a major issue.
Yeah,
Ken,
jump in, because it's your own show, John. Just jump in.
Well, you two guys won't let anyone else talk.
I didn't say anything. Just go ahead.
Ken, how can you criticize Andrew Friedman? He's had the most successful general manager tenure, not just in Dodgers history, but in any team's history. Go look it up. Nobody's ever started as a GM and won 8 straight division titles and gone to 3 World Series. Ever. What? How in the world can you point this at Friedman?
Been a general manager running a team either in Tampa or Los Angeles for 18 years. In 18 years, he's only won the World Series one time in a fake 60-game season.
You're calling that a fake 60-game? Yeah, Ken, I'm done with you. I'm done with you. That was not a fake season. That was not a fake season. That was a real season. I'm not going to have that on this show. I'm not going to have that in this show. Tell you what else I'm not going to have done. I'm not going to have Bill Plaschke taking shots at me. Bill Plaschke yesterday clearly took a shot at me.
Have we reached out to him?
I talked to him this morning.
And?
He's hosting a show today, so he can't make it. But he said, give me a call next week, assuming the Clippers are still in it.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, that shot I thought was, first of all, say my name.
Say my name.
I want my name in the paper, man. I want my name in the paper. His line originally in the column was, you can hear it from local radio personalities who openly brag about disliking the Clippers while begrudging their every success.
Okay, can I say something about this column?
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Bill's. I think he's
Bill's
a great guy.
35 years he's been doing this. Yeah. He is, longevity says everything.
Yeah, he's been here as long as I've been here. He's never been more disconnected from the city than he is with this column.
Yep.
This column is so out of touch with how the rest of the city feels. I can't believe it's so bad that I don't even think Bill believes it. You know, every once in a while he'll write a column where he's just throwing stuff on a wall. And
I'm just trying to provoke people.
I think that's what he has to be doing here. He's smart enough to know that you can't ask Laker fans. And I know Ty Lue asked, but maybe Ty was.
Golly gee, guys, root for us. We're
maybe Ty had spent too much time away from L.A. You can't ask Laker fans to root for the Clippers. I have nothing against the Clippers. I picked them to win this series. All right? I think they're going to the finals. You can't ask Laker fans to root for the Clippers. They're not going to do it. They have no interest in the Clippers. They think the Clippers are basically carpetbaggers who intruded on a Laker town. And you can make a pretty good argument that that's true.
Yeah.
Donald Sterling wanted to be Jerry Buss. He couldn't get the Lakers, so he brought the Clippers and tried to do like a bad copy.
Yeah, here's a tweet from Maria Fisher, because yesterday this blew up on Twitter, so I just wanted to get at least one tweet here. I'd love to know why a sports journalist doesn't get how fandom works after all his years on the beat.
Yeah,
I am a fan of the Lakers. Are Yankee fans expected to root for the Mets? So then why are the Laker fans expected to root for the other team in town?
And at the heart of Bill's column is I don't think he has as big of a problem with Laker fans not rooting for the Clippers, but he has a problem with Laker fans rooting against the Clippers. Well, think about what the Clippers did. They started, first of all, they come in and play on, they're the third team in the Staples Center. So they come in and they can't, they're finally going to fix it and go get their own building. But basically, they come in and play in the Lakers building in the Lakers town. And then they start a campaign that targets the Lakers.
Yeah, no, they targeted us. That's what those billboards, streetlights, not spotlights. L.A. our way. I mean, all those goofy slogans that they came up with, and King of L.A. instead of King of the North, they had Kawhi on the bill. I mean, seriously, they went way too far on that, and honestly, they set themselves up to fail.
Right. Speaking of Kawhi.
Oh, yeah,
you think
yeah, yeah.
That was weird last night?
Yeah, let's talk about that coming up. Plus, John, there's a worldwide trend right now that I think the U.S. needs to get on board with. It will make all of our lives a lot easier. That is also coming up for you. Big Friday show. Phone lines always open. 877-710-ESPN. You can tweet us at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at L-A Ireland. You can email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. Don't forget, Mason's Movie Night is back. Win a four-pack of tickets to see my private advanced screening of Marvel's Black Widow. Thursday, July the 8th at the Regal Cinemas in West Covina. Be listening in the 3 o'clock hour for your chance to call in and win. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so there is a brand new way to celebrate disco this summer starting July 16th in Palos Verdes. It's called Disco Oasis. We talked about it yesterday, and we have officially announced a date where we're all going to go disco roller skating. It is Saturday, July the 31st. I am so excited for this. Morales is in. Jorge and Brenda, you guys are in, right?
We are. Yes, we are. We are.
Ireland, are you in?
I think so.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure.
John Ireland on skates.
Why not?
Yeah, I love it.
If I'm
Bring
in town,
Lisa
I'm
along.
There. If, yeah, yeah, she'll come if we're in town for sure.
That's fun. That's fun. That'll be cool. That's Saturday, July the 31st. We're doing that. If you you can probably show up, buy tickets, and be there when we're there.
So you're just gonna gloss over me.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, Lindsay.
You were the one that we had to kind of juggle the date for, right?
Well, I said I couldn't make it after that date because I'm going to be in Ohio for a couple weeks.
Okay.
So you will not make it to disco Saturday night?
Not if we're doing it that weekend. I can't.
Okay, God. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. All right, so Kawhi Leonard was seen during last night's Suns game. I'll call it a Suns game. At Staples Center. He was seen, like, in the stands or up in a luxury box or kind of bouncing around. Definitely not sitting on the bench. I think it's weird. John, what do you think?
I'm going to read a tweet from Ralph Lawler, you know, the longtime voice of the Clippers.
Yes.
That, you know, Ralph was their announcer for 40 years.
Yes.
He tweeted this last night after they showed Kawhi in the luxury box. Don't want to make too much of this, but thought it a little concerning that Kawhi Leonard was watching the game in a luxury box with his family. Does not make me think he is close to returning. I had the same reaction.
By the way, close to returning, like, does he mean close to returning to this series or close to returning to the Clippers when he becomes a free agent?
No, to this series is what he's talking about. And I agree with Ralph. The only, like, I've covered NBA basketball for decades. I've seen star players not be at games.
Yeah.
But I have never, ever seen a active player in a luxury box with his family.
Nope.
While the team is on the court. Now, having said that, remember there was that article that ESPN.com wrote last year about how the Clippers were dysfunctional, and one of the reasons why was that Kawhi Leonard was allowed to do whatever he wants.
Yes.
That would be magnified now, Mace, because he has an opt-out.
Yeah.
So we may just be in this era of Laker empowerment, player empowerment.
Yeah, but John, I mean, Chris Paul, when he was out, was on the bench shouting, barking out, hey, do this, hey, do that, more of this, more of that. I mean, that's what a teammate does. That's what a great player does when he's injured and his team is in a critical situation.
But Kawhi's weird. Kawhi's never been that guy.
But I think this is a terrible look for Kawhi Leonard to be up in a luxury box. And when Ralph Lawler says it doesn't look like he's coming back, I was watching The Jump today. He's not practiced. He's not. So whatever is going on with his knee is probably going to keep him out of this series. He's not been officially ruled out, but Ty Lue said, we're playing game three without him. We're planning to play without him. It looks like they're going to play without him for the series. I just think it is a really weird look for Kawhi Leonard to be up in a luxury box while his teammates are trying to get back into a series. Why is Kawhi not on the bench like a normal superstar would be?
All right, two possible explanations.
Okay.
One, Kawhi has little kids. You saw him last night.
Yes.
He asked the Clippers, hey, I know I'm not going to play, but I'd love to bring my kids to the game and sit with them. I obviously can't do that on the bench. It's not practical for Kawhi to sit in the stands. So they gave him a luxury box and stuck him up there. Like I said, I've never, ever seen that before. So it would be a first. But that's
Not kiddie time. Okay. It's game three. It's not kiddie time.
Here's a more likely kind of conspiracy theorist,
okay,
but more likely explanation. Kawhi is done. He's not playing anymore this year. And they didn't want to show him on the sidelines where you could see his leg or see his limp. Do you think that is possible?
No.
Why not?
Absolutely not.
Why?
If they know he's not playing, they know he's not playing. I think everybody's planning for him to be gone for the entire series.
No. But what you want Phoenix to play to have to prepare for?
Yeah, but I think the cat's out of the bag. It's a strained knee, and there's no way he's going to risk playing in this series. I don't think he's coming back for the series. I don't think it's a big surprise.
I don't think Monty
Williams is saying let's plan for Kawhi when they seize him up in the stands.
So let's play your theory out to the end. If that's true, what's different? What difference does it make?
Because he's supposed to be part of a team. A team, and even when you're hurt, you're all in it together.
All right, but wait a minute. A bigger, like Rob Plink always says, that in this day and age, in the modern NBA, you are in a partnership with these star players.
Sure, yeah, I agree with that.
They get treated differently than the rest of the team. So, being that he can opt out as soon as the Clippers season is over.
Oh, just let him do whatever he wants?
I think that literally is on the top of everyone's computer.
God,
if Kawhi asks for something, give it to him. Let him do whatever he wants.
That is a terrible look.
I don't know who technically is the GM of the Clippers. Is it Lawrence Frank? Is it the Michael Winger?
I don't know
who actually has. Maybe it's our friend Lee Jenkins. Let's throw Lee
Lee Jenkins, former SI writer. Yeah. Lee Jenkins is running the show.
I think all those dudes have it on their desk, have a big sign that says, let Kawhi do what he wants. And the end result is he gets to do whatever
he
wants.
But what if he wants is not productive and not best for the team?
Doesn't matter. He's Kawhi.
Tell you what, I'll be honest. You know, this is pure instinct. Pure speculation on my part. I haven't talked to anybody. I don't know anybody. I'm not in the league, as you guys say. I think he's leaving.
Oh, that's preposterous.
I think he's leaving. All this buzz of Kawhi to Miami, I think is real.
I don't.
Kawhi to Miami. I'm calling my shot right now. Okay. Kawhi to Miami.
Great.
Don't dismiss me.
I am dismissing you. I don't think you. No, he may end
There's
up
tons
in Miami.
Of speculation. There's tons of speculation on the internet that that's what's going to happen.
From who? What reputable source is predicting that besides you?
Just Google it. Google Kawhi
well,
and
so
Miami
our,
Heat.
Our standard now is if it's on the internet, it must
Wait a minute.
Be true.
When has that not been my standard? When have I not had that as a standard?
All right, so if that's true, then we have aliens, we have an Area 51, there are lizard people. I can't wait. Well, look, think of all the possibilities if everything you read on the internet is true.
Well, not everything.
Well, you just said that's your standard. If it's on the internet, you roll with it.
Well, we do roll with a lot of stuff on the internet.
Wait, I have a question in regards to what you said about Kawhi Mace. So one thing I noticed on the broadcast is they kept pointing out I thought that he's such a leader of this team, and they say that even when he's not playing in the games, he makes such a difference because he's right in there with the team, you know, cheering everybody on and encouraging and helping coaching. And if that's the case, then why, if he cared so much about his team and his teammates, again, why was he sitting up there?
Yeah, I think it's a terrible look.
Oh, wait a minute. Aaron on line one has an excellent question. Aaron, you're on 710 ESPN. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. First of all, listener since day one for you guys, forever. Just love you guys. You guys are the bomb.
Thanks, man.
And in fact, for Lindsay and you guys, the show has never been better, by the way. So you guys are just killing it. Number two, Kobe or Magic would be in a body cast on the bench if they couldn't play to be there to guide their team. I mean, this is such a horrible look. Forget that. Number three, in the unlikely event that the Clippers win this year, which is not going to happen. Will the Lakers the next year on a home game corrupt their one sole little itty bitty banner? It's like the Clippers do. Of course, because they have class. They don't have the class.
I am so glad you brought this up.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I think the Clippers' new tradition of covering, and by the way, Mace, they don't cover up any of the Kings banners. Okay, the Kings banners, their Stanley Cup banners,
right,
from 12 and 14 and all the Kings retired numbers are up in the rafters during Clipper games. They just cover up the Laker banners. Is one of the pettiest, ridiculous things I've ever seen a pro sports franchise do. Especially in light of the fact that, let's say somebody's going to Staples Center.
Yeah.
They haven't been before. They're going to a Clipper game.
Yep.
Those are where Kobe's numbers are.
Sure.
Those are where Kobe and Shaq's numbers are and Jerry West and Wilt. It's part of the experience.
Yes.
No, I don't know of any other team in
that
any
covers
other
up somebody
arena
else's banners
in any other sport that does this. And so if the Clippers win next year, I would be absolutely shocked if the Lakers covered up anything.
Yep.
I just don't think that's the way you act.
Okay. Aha! Aha!
What is it?
What are you aha-ing about?
Stephen A. Smith on Kawhi Leonard possibly going to Miami.
A city that still doesn't sound all that much like Kawhi's town. Kawhi Leonard signed a 3-year deal with the Los Angeles Clippers when he arrived. But he can opt out after this season if he wants. And if the Clippers fail again to do any damage in the postseason, especially if they lose in the first round this time, Kawhi might just decide it's not working out in the la-la. He might decide it's time to leave. Might cut a new commercial of him driving, this time with the city of Los Angeles in his rear view. Heading to South Beach. Calling it his town.
Yeah.
Following in LeBron's footsteps again. But we won't forget. We won't forget his time with the Clippers. There's still a lot of basketball to be played. I'm aware of that. Still time to change that narrative. But at the moment, it ain't looking good.
Right, wait a minute. That clip is outdated.
It's a little outdated.
They're in the Western Conference Finals for the first time ever.
Right, but if they crash and burn, I think everything's up in the air. It's a jump ball. Miami or the Clippers? Miami or the Clippers?
You are just making crap up.
It's on the internet. Stephen A. Smith is on the internet saying exactly that. Everything on the internet is true.
Good to know.
Coming up next, we're going to spin the wheel of questions. Also, I promised we'd get into this worldwide movement that's going on, and we got to get on board. So we'll do that coming up. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, what's going on, people? It's Friday. Feeling great today. Ireland, you in a good mood?
Heck yeah, it's Friday.
All right, awesome. All right, so we're going to spin the wheel of questions, as we always do on the show, at 1:30. You got to make sure you're here for this. I have no idea I never have any idea what question is going to come up. I take like 10 questions, I put them on a wheel, and then Jorge spins the wheel, and we find out what we're going to kick around. So, Jorge, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Hit it. Oh, okay. Got it. All right, so here we go. Nice restaurant, After getting the check for an excellent meal, you notice that you were not charged for one of the items you ate. Would you tell the waitress or waiter?
100%.
100%?
Yep.
You wouldn't even think about it?
Yeah, I've done it.
You said, hey, you forgot to charge me
for the... Yeah, I used to be a waiter.
Kind of the fancy Ireland food. You didn't charge me for the escargot?
Yeah. Especially, you say the meal was excellent, right?
The meal was good? Great. Yeah.
So there would be no reason why they wouldn't have charged me.
See, part of me says bank makes error in your favor. Right?
I mean, I have a fast track question about something similar to this today.
Yeah, I mean, I think bank makes error in your favor. They screwed it up, so why should you pay for it? Lindsay, what about you?
Considering I'm poor, I probably would not say anything.
Yeah, I mean, that is part of it, too. If people are stretching for a fancy dinner, it says a great restaurant and a great meal, which means, let's say it's Nobu,
right,
where Ireland hangs out all the time.
I want to go back to Nobu.
Yeah, but
they're never going to know.
Just like you, just like they didn't put it on the check. If you're with a group of people and you're all chipping in, like, you know, I'd just be like, oh, I didn't notice. They didn't charge me for mine.
Yeah, I mean, Jorge, what about you?
I used to be a waiter. I would tell him. I would.
I was a waiter too, yeah. But my whole thinking is, if you used to be a waiter, then you would know that if they were able to get your food into the kitchen, get it out to you and serve it to you as a meal, and then it's not on your check, they obviously have a flawed system where they're not going to be responsible for it. Yeah, but they're not going to be responsible for it.
The waiter's never going to get caught. Nobody's ever going to know that there was an extra order of,
you don't know that.
I don't know, what's fancy, truffle something that
don't get the
gets.
Truffles going. That's all like $100 easy.
Right?
Start
truffle,
working the word
truffle stuff
in there.
Yeah, I don't even understand. Yeah. They put truffle on my fries. I don't even know what that is. What is truffle? Why does it taste better on my fries? I don't get it. Right? What is truffle? They say, oh, these french fries have
it's
truffle
a good
oil.
Question.
It's
I like, couldn't...
what? They're really expensive, fancy mushrooms.
But what do they do to my fries?
And could I identify
it's a flavoring.
In the lineup?
Probably not. It's a flavoring.
Yeah, that just makes stuff more expensive. This is the stuff that, like, pigs dig up, right?
Because they're really
dig
rare.
Up these things.
It's just like what's it called, is really rare and expensive, or used to be at least. Caviar was like a rich people thing.
It still is.
So it's rare
Ireland
and expensive.
Ireland has a lot of caviar. I'll tell you,
you know, I've never had caviar. Don't even know what it tastes
get
like.
Get out of here. So here's, in this house, it's funny you mentioned caviar. So I've been hacking away at golf. And by the way, last night, John, I was very proud of myself. A legit double bogey on the par three.
See, there's no way you're getting 26 strokes. That's ridiculous.
That's a double bogey on a par three?
You got a five.
Five on a on a par three, yeah. Okay, the rest of them were triple, quadruple, cinquenta. Cinquenta.
50.
All as I know. Did you add up the total score?
We only played six holes.
And what'd you get?
Hang on a second. I got the scorecard right here. 68.
He's probably making the number
up. Yeah,
no way. No, it's a legit 68. John,
that's a little more than a seven on each hole.
I F up every one of my chips. It takes two chips for me to at least even have a shot at the green. Here's where I was going. So, Juan is making fun of me. He's like, oh, you're a rich guy now. You're playing golf. Oh, you're fancy. You're going to the country club. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm going to Rancho Park. And he said, okay, I have one pair of golf shorts that I bought at Roger Dunn, and they were super expensive, right? Golf shorts are just expensive.
Yeah, not where I buy them, but go ahead.
So Juan goes online. He says, I'll get you another pair of golf pants. And they were like 38 bucks or something like that. And the color, what color do you want? And I said, just black. And he said, oh, they call them caviar.
There you go.
That's so snooty.
Yeah, you know what they call the navy blue ones for some reason?
No.
Midnight.
Oh, God. It's so stuffy.
But when you hear the word midnight, don't you think black, not blue?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
just call them blue and black, golf people. That's all they are, blue and black.
Let me throw out this one piece of news and tell me if you think this is something or nothing. Okay. The Dallas Mavericks announced today that they're going to hire Jason Kidd away from the Lakers, and Kidd's going to be their new head coach.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for Jason. He's been great when he's been here in the 2 years he's been here. Him and Frank Vogel have worked really well together. Jason's been great to everybody. Really happy that he's back as a head coach. The GM that they hired,
yep.
is a guy named Nico Harrison.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
No, no, it's not.
I'm thinking about the gambling guy in the background.
No, no, no. But Nico is one of the great guys of all time, and he runs Nike basketball.
Okay.
Now, Nico's number one client for years was Kobe Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, Nico and Rob Pelinka are very close.
Okay.
Doesn't that open the door now for the Lakers and Mavs to do some friendly trading maybe down the road? I would think it helps.
Yeah, can I
like
hurt?
Jason Kidd obviously knows the Laker roster. Nico and Rob are good friends, so I'm not going to put any names on it. I'm not allowed to, but that's some now you've got guys who are good friends on different teams. I think that would set up the possibility for some deals in the future.
Here's a good example. Holmes, I can't think of his first name. Holmes was the director of player personnel for the Rams. He went to the Lions, and immediately
and then the Matt Stafford trade.
The Matt Stafford trade went down, and he took Goff because he knew Goff well and thought, I can get a couple of years out of this guy. So, yeah, I think that does make a difference. I think it makes a difference. All right, coming up next for you, the trend that is sweeping the world that we got to get on board for. And then we've got Fast Track coming up for you in 15 minutes. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is going on? So, Ireland, there is a movement that is sweeping the world right now.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I hear it. Why, if it was sweeping the world, wouldn't we know about it without you telling us?
Okay, so I'll lay out the facts here, okay?
Okay.
Company called Buffer. They make social media management, whatever tools, okay. Whatever they do. They've done something radical. They've gone to a 4-day work week, and what they found was surprising. The output of work, the productivity, has been the same as a 5-day work week. Now, they're not the only company that has tried this. People who work a 4-day week generally report they're healthier, happier, less crunched for time. Their employers report that they're more efficient and focused.
I'm already intrigued. I like the idea. But in order for, let's apply it to you and I.
Well, we probably are the exceptions.
Okay, but wait a minute. No, not necessarily. The way we could get a 4-day work week was we could agree to do another hour Monday through Thursday.
Ah, so do a longer show Monday through Thursday.
And so that way we would give them, actually they'd get a bonus hour of Mason in Ireland.
Oh, and who doesn't want that? Now, they're not the only company, John, that has tried this. So Microsoft Japan and the burger chain Shake Shack are trying the schedule with their employees, and they have positive results. The international conglomerate Unilever's offices are currently in the middle of a year-long experiment, the results of which could inform the schedules of the company's 155,000 employees. Governments of Spain and Scotland planning trials that would subsidize employers that give workers an additional day off.
Okay.
Politicians in Japan and New Zealand have spoken favorably of the idea of a shorter work week.
I'm all in on this, and I have experimental evidence.
Okay.
When I was at UCLA, I loaded up. I was a history major.
Yep.
I loaded up on my required classes in my first 3 years. So I didn't have to take a lot of required classes as a senior, but I still needed units.
Right.
UCLA was on the quarter system. So because there was an older guy in the house, a guy named Rick Milkey, who just passed away recently. God rest his soul. Rick handed me a great trick. He goes, you know, he goes, just for one quarter, he said, you should try this. He said, how many classes are you taking in fall quarter? I said, I'm taking 4. He goes, figure out a way to take all of your classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. He said, it will be a tremendously long day. You'll probably be on campus from 9 in the morning till about 7 at night.
Yep.
But you get every other day off. So
smart.
I did it, Mace. It's the happiest I've ever been. I got so much done. I knew that when I was at school, I had to just lock in.
Yep.
I was like, oh, my first class was at 9. My last class was at 6. I just loaded up. And I stayed on campus all day. And Thursday at 7 p.m., I was done.
Yeah.
and it was great.
So I did that We were on quarters. I did that one quarter where I made all my classes on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and I hell of a time Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then I had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. I had the Carson schedule. Remember Johnny Carson used to do the Tonight Show? He took Mondays off.
Right.
God bless him.
And a lot of Fridays.
Get away with it. And a lot of Fridays, yeah. Yeah, I think there's something to be said for this. I think, Lindsay, what do you think? A shorter work week makes people more productive?
I think it is, because then you don't have as much burnout. I think it depends on the industry.
Yeah, it does.
But,
by the way,
I think...
Go ahead, Lindsay.
Like I was going to say, I think I would rather work like 4 10-hour days than work 5 8-hour days.
You're right. It's way better. Like, and I'll tell you another thing I did. When I was on that Tuesday, Thursday schedule for that whole quarter, I kicked myself that I didn't do it earlier. I figured that out when I was a senior.
Yeah.
I wish I would have done it from the, like, if you're out there listening and you're going to college next year, or you're already in college, look into this. Because what it does, Mace, is when you're on campus for that whole day and you're starting early and you're staying on campus, you use your breaks to do all your homework.
To do your homework, yeah.
You're like, okay, I've got to be over here. I'm going to go camp out. Like, my first class was 9 to 11. Then my next class was at 1.
Right.
So I said, okay, I got 11 to 1. I'm going to grab a sandwich, and I'm going to go to the library, and I'm going to knock out my homework. Then I had a break from 1 to 3. Okay? And then I did the homework for that class. And so I was exhausted at the end of Tuesday, but I got so much done because your head is all focused on schoolwork. And I think it would be the same in a job.
Yeah, I completely, completely agree.
Now, you know, a byproduct of this is, in a lot of countries, I know this is true in France because a friend of mine runs a French movie studio. He says,
"Wow, you have a friend that runs a French movie studio."
Yeah, but they primarily do TV, not a lot of feature films. But shout out to Tim Steven, who's a great guy. Tim told me that in some companies over there, they shut down the email server.
Yes,
at 5 o'clock at night. So if he sends an email, like they don't do it in the States, but if Tim sends an email to somebody at 7 our time, they may not see it until 9 a.m. the next day because their corporate email server is shut off to allow people to wind down. What do you think of that idea?
I think it's great. And, you know, I some of these countries, it actually is against the law to email your employees after hours.
Or by doing...
John, when do you... Let me ask you this question. When do you work?
All day anytime I'm awake.
I work all the time. I just work all the time. There's no cutoff.
Unlike you, if you text me, I'm bound to text you back fairly soon.
I've done better lately.
If I text you after the show, there's a chance I might hear from you that night, but normally it's the next day.
There might be spelling errors and stuff.
Yeah, I don't care about that. You
know what I'm saying?
I'm friends with Michael. Oh, you want to talk about spelling?
Oh, yeah, he just writes wrong. He just writes wrong.
He does it on purpose.
Yeah, he does. He
texts in slang.
Ireland,
let me ask you a weird question. What percentage of your classes when you were at UCLA did you actually attend?
Well, you know, when I was doing that Tuesday, Thursday thing?
Yeah.
Almost all of them. But on a regular year, I would say I was one of those guys that if, you know, I lived by the credo, don't let school interfere with your education.
Right.
So if somebody said to me, hey, there's a new movie coming out in Westwood at noon, I would say, well, I have a lecture. And they'd say, lecture? Get the notes.
Yeah.
So I would say 50% maybe when I wasn't doing like that Tuesday, Thursday stunt. I would say I was one of those guys that didn't go to class a lot.
Yeah. John, I probably went to 10% of my classes. I was too busy. I was too busy for class.
Now, did you guys, and I don't know, Lindsay, you would know because you're younger, Nuts or Jorge, do Cliff Notes still exist? So if they say, okay, you got to read War and Peace, I would say, War and Peace? Things like 1,000 pages. Give me the Cliff
pages.
Notes.
I used to use something called Spark Notes. I don't know if that's still around either.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Spark Notes, Cliff Notes, something? Okay.
So it's basically the notes from the lecture?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Mace, when you were in a fraternity, did you have a test file?
No, we did not. So, I consider a test file to be cheating.
So here's what a test file is. The rule was in our fraternity, we had about 120 guys, that if you ever took a class, you would have one guy at the house who was, his title was scholarship chairman.
Right.
And if you took a test, you after you took that test, you came back and gave the copy of the test to the scholarship chairman. So the next semester, if someone, or next quarter, if someone else took the same class, they would have a study guide. Now, most teachers change the questions because they were on to us. But I would say, Mace, maybe 30% of them didn't.
And you so don't consider you, that to be cheating?
Of course not.
What? No. How can you say of course not?
Because if the teacher doesn't change the test questions, the teacher's lazy.
True.
I'm still studying all the material. That test is telling me what's likely I'm going to get quizzed on. So I still am reading all the stuff and reading the and looking at all the lecture notes.
Why bother if you know the answers?
Well, because there's no guarantee that that was the actual test.
Mm.
But yeah, I will say this. My GPA in high school was 3.8.
Yep.
My GPA in college, 2.8.
2.8?
Yeah.
So you just skated by.
Yeah.
Well, college is a lot harder, I think.
Yeah, but it also had to do with the amount of effort I was putting in.
So I don't want to release my grades.
Why? You're like 50. What's the point?
I thought that you're the smartest person on the show. So
well, no, you did
so
have an insane SAT score. What was your SAT score?
1450.
Lie of the day.
No. No, we've talked about this before. I got into UCLA, and one of the conditions was I had to take the SAT, but all I had to do was take it. So I think my SAT score was a little over 1,000.
Yeah,
like I didn't have a good SAT score at all.
So this is going to sound like bragging, and I know you think it's going to be the lie of the day, but it's absolutely true. I'm going to tell you.
What was your high school GPA?
I had 1 B in high school.
Okay, so like 3.9.
No, because there were honors courses, so it was like 4.6.
Okay, so now you know that it's closer to a 5. Like some 4.6s don't even get in because there's so many. Now, what was your college GPA?
I had 1 B.
Do you remember what it was in?
Yeah, it was in a film class where the guy didn't like my theory about 2001: A Space Audience, Space Odyssey. Yeah, that was my B. So I got 2 Bs the whole time I was in high school and college. That makes me a nerd, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Or does that make me a genius?
No, it means you're naturally smart. I told you the story before that I had one professor. Now, keep in mind, there was no internet, okay?
Yeah.
No internet when I was in college.
Okay.
So it was a history class. We walk in, and the professor is outlining the class, what's on the syllabus, and he says, now you can just go on the internet and get this answer. But keep in mind, there was no internet. He said, by the way, he goes, are there any baseball fans in the class? And I stick my hand up with about, 10 or 20 other guys. He goes, I have a trivia question. And if you give me the answer to this trivia question before we take the final in week 10, I'll give you an A and you don't have to take the final. And everybody pops up, all these baseball fans. So he said, there was one player in the history of Major League Baseball who was killed as a result of something that happened in a live game.
Right. It was Ray Chapman, right?
Ray Chapman with the Indians in the 1920s. Carl Mays was the pitcher. The name I need that will give you an A and keep you from taking the final, who pinch ran for Ray Chapman? Because they didn't keep a lot of box scores back then.
Right.
And so I immediately went to work, Mace. I wrote a letter to Baseball America.
Really? Why was this such an obsession for you?
Because I got an A and I wouldn't have to take the final.
Oh, okay, got it.
So I called Baseball America, left messages. I called MLB and left messages in New York. I went into the research library, University Research Library, looked, could not come up with it. And now keep in mind, this is before the internet, so I wasn't allowed to do this when you and I got together. Was like early 90s, right before the internet started.
Yes, yes.
And I gave it to one celebrity guest who came up with the answer. He called me at 3 o'clock that day with the answer. Do you remember who it was?
Fred Willard. Yeah, the late, great Fred Willard.
Yeah, was able to dig it up. It was a guy.
Such a funny. He was a general manager and an anchor man. He was in Best in Show as the announcer.
Yeah.
He was one of the funniest guys around.
And he was a huge baseball fan, and he dug it up. And by the way, it was a guy named Harry Lunte,
L-U-N-T-E or L-U-D-T-E, something like that. And by the way, one guy, I don't know how he did it, one guy in the class came up with the name. But that was it.
That was you.
No, I didn't get it.
No, you didn't get it back then.
I had to take the final.
Later in life. Yeah. All right, coming up next for you is Fast Track. We got that coming up for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.